This is episode 95, recorded February 15th, 2013. Peck and Pokes at Beer Portal to Your Soul.
Do you want to stream Peck or Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Peck and Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokeset. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. Joining me tonight from the far, far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
Rainbow bright, see the shining light.
Okay, now that one's like,
what here?
Yeah, I know. I saw the big blob that we had over here, and it just heading your way, and
I keep telling you, send your snow my way. Thanks, Packard.
You're welcome. I sent it over your way just for you. And joining us from the south of Joe is Crystal Sesso from North Carolina.
Drum roll. Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody.
Or good morning, good evening, whatever.
Good morning, good evening. It all depends on who you are.
Right, exactly. Before we get started, I mentioned this at the end of the last week's show, and I'm going to do it right now, that we are now up on, we have our own little radio station, as it were. It's mixler.com/packard-pokes-at. It will have all the recordings. It'll play over and over and over again, and every week I'll add in the newest show, so you can listen to the show day in and day out. I've put it on now. I go to sleep listening to it. It's fun just listening to myself. Like, ooh, yeah. I should have said this. So
I listened to it too. I downloaded the Mixler app on my phone and I put it on for a little while. And I was like, oh wow, this is kind of cool. I can just listen to the podcast over and over and over again.
Yep. And the thing is, it keeps going. There's no stopping and starting it anywhere in particular. So you just got to let it play. So, and there's even some commercials and some little fun stuff that's in there as well. So it's a whole lot of fun. So if you get a chance to go over there and hit the heart button on there and subscribe to the channel and have some fun. There's also a chat room there. So leave comments if you want to. That'd be excellent. And you can see that some of the comments that other people have left as well. All right. Also, tonight is our photography segment, so that'll be coming up here a little bit later in the show. So let's get going first to our tech news for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Scientists have come up with a great new invention. It's called a 3D printer. You might have heard of this. You could buy one if you have the cash. I could get one if I had the cash. You can print out anything with this thing. Well, within reason. Anything that can be shaped within a computer, you can print it out. You can print out cookie cutters. You can print out Care Bears. You can, as long as it fits within the printer, you can print it out. Scientists have found a much better way of using this particular new technology. They are using it to print embryonic stem cells. Yes, embryonic stem cells. It's amazing development. They have tried to do something like this before, but the limited success of it by trying, you know, the dropper method, they were not getting the results that they wanted. Now with this, they have been able to get 99% of the cells that came out of the printer were still usable. So that means we could be printing, eventually, cells that will grow livers, kidneys, lungs, skin, just about anything that we need. Hell, before we too long, if we have our own 3D printers and we have this kind of access to them, hey, we need a kidney, we just, okay, put in my blood type, whatever, print out a new kidney, take it to the doctors. You know, hey, I need a new kidney. Hey, want to install this, please? Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, so they're using stem cells in a 3D printer as the ink, and the cells survived. This brings them one step closer to actually printing, growing replacement organs for use, and that's pretty cool. The advances in medicine of late are pretty fantastic. I hope this new technology becomes proven by the time I need it.
Yes.
Because I plan to live to be 600 years old like Noah.
I thought it was 900 years old.
I think he eventually lived to be 900 years, but when, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when the rain started falling, he was like six. I don't know. All I know is I want to be really old and I want to build a boat. I want to retire on my boat.
Don't put it in my driveway because then, you know, my neighbors will just have a bitch fit.
I ran into my brother-in-law today. He's like, you want to buy a boat? I'm like, what kind of boat is it? He's like, it's a motorboat. I'm like, I don't want a motorboat. I want an ark.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Crystal, your thoughts?
Another fascinating medical story. Yay! Something that I actually do love. This is, I've always thought that the stem cells were going to be leading to some really just wonderful advances in what we can do medically to help people. The embryonic cells are wonderful because they are like a blank slate, just like the article said, and they're capable of being reproduced into various organs, various tissues. And so, you know, of course you think about lungs, kidneys, you know, vital organs as such, hearts, things that are going to prolong life for even the smallest of folks. I think the one thing that I thought most about was actually the skin grafts for burn victims. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to do away with a lot of the auto rejection. And I know Dan could be a great help in talking about a lot of this stuff with the stem cells. It's very exciting, considering that 99% of the cells that came back from the printer were still usable.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Fascinating. And I'm so glad that people are using their brains and putting this stuff together and doing just some wonderful advancements. I think we're going to see some really great things and with just within a couple of years in what they're going to be able to do as far as organ and transplants, skin transplants, and hopefully some work on these diseases that we've not been able to make much of a dent in hundreds of years.
All right. You know, the thing is with stem cell research, that the religious have always been against stem cell research because, you know, they had to take it from fetuses and whatnot. With something like this, we can eliminate that altogether. I'm just wondering if they're going to have any objection to this now.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure your fundamentalists still will, because, well, they got to find something to yell about, number one. And
yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's embryonic cells, but I can really almost promise you that when it comes down to it, maybe not over your own self, but maybe over a loved one, a child especially, you will be begging for this if this is available.
Oh, yeah.
And just to think of the quality of life improvements that we can do. Life-saving, yes, but just the increase the quality of someone's life is so exciting, and I can't wait to see where this is going to take it. I would actually love to actually see it in person and see what this stuff looks like. I find it's absolutely fascinating. And
yeah, they've got a pretty close picture of, I think, or the picture of it up on the page there.
They do, and actually it looks really good. I'd actually like to go and see it, though.
Oh, you mean you actually want to see it yourself? Oh, yeah, I understand, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like this part of the medicine anyway, and I like the research part, so this is right up my alley.
Yes. You know, and the thing is, you know, if you go in there, maybe if you cough just the right way, you can maybe grow another person. No, just kidding.
I have my blueprints for the perfect man. Does that count?
Now, you know, that brings up an interesting question. At some point, are we going to be able to replicate a person using the same technology? Since we're going to be using these for tissue replication eventually at some point, would you think we would be able to use this for replicating a whole person?
I think I would be in line to try that.
Hmm. What do you think the moral implications would be behind that?
Do you think I would be worried about moral implications if I was, like, designing the perfect guy?
That is if you have time to wait around for them to actually grow. You know, they can't make them fully formed. You know, but
I'll bring my fertilizer.
Full grown man, yay!
That's right. It's guaranteed to grow.
I think that's why they call it Miracle Girl. Anyway,
you know, that would put a huge dent in the internet pride business.
In the internet what business?
In the internet bride business.
Oh, yes, it would.
Because you could just print one at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Made to order.
Yep. I want my lady to be this big and this tall and this way, or only this thin and only eats this much, you know.
It'd be like the movie Weird Science, but for real.
Yeah, Oh, it's damn near almost that now. It really is. I mean, I would, of all the things I've seen in my life, this takes a taco in science. You know, I mean, sure, we send shit to other planets. You know, that's great, but this, the working on the micro level, that's even more astounding because it's so much harder to do.
It certainly is. Oh, I know what I wanted to say.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
This is something that was important that I meant to say, and I'm so sorry for thinking. But it was talking about this is going to eliminate animal testing.
Oh, yeah, it could.
Because they can actually reproduce the human body and do the drug trials that way. So it's not going to be harmful to humans or to any animals, which for all of us animal lovers out there, it's a wonderful thing. That was a big point that I think they didn't really harp on very well with this. Do away with animal testing.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, they could. Yeah, they could. Yeah, they could definitely put the skin cells of whatever they figure are going to be most susceptible to these things, and we could do that, and they could test on that instead.
Mm-hmm.
That would save a lot of time and trouble right there. Maybe even drug testing too, but you know, that's
what our article said was if they just reproduce the thing in the 3D image, they don't have to have any living thing. They've got the DNA.
Yeah,
that's the stem cell. So that's wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I never thought I'd see this. You know, you see stuff like this in like Star Trek. You know, replicators,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
but this is. It's real, you know. This is, and it's just amazing, just amazing.
Yay, science!
Science for the win.
In Star Trek, they had the dermal replicator, mm-hmm. I think that's what it was called.
Yeah, it was called a dermal replicator.
Yeah, and it was like a little beam, and they would just shine it on people's skin, and it would like fix burns and cuts and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Dermal regenerator.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Dermal regenerator. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I always thought like that would be such a cool tool to have. Like, couldn't you know?
Yeah, exactly. Michael in the chat room said, "Packer, check and see if you're recording with video because your video is too good tonight."
Don't jinx us, Michael.
Well, speaking of interesting science, on to our next story here. If you've ever played the game Portal, I haven't. My daughters have played this game, but it's where you put one portal on one wall, and these walls are white, and you put one.
Because it's racist.
Because they're moon rocks. I don't know why they call it that, but that's what the premise of the game is. All the walls are made of the special moon rock stuff, and you put a portal on one wall, and then you put a portal on the other wall. One's an ingoing, and one's an outgoing. So you if you were to jump through one, you could appear somewhere else in the game. And this has been a very popular game. They've got their Portal 1, Portal 2, came out just last year, I believe. And you're solving puzzles with this game. You are trying to get through a maze of different things to do to get to your final goal, which is, you know, the game, like all games, it's just to try to finish the game. And it's been very, very popular. Now they're using this as a teaching method. I watched the video. It's really interesting. And it's called Fun with Portals. And what they're doing is they did the terminal velocity. Now, terminal velocity on Earth, you know, for us, is a constant rate. In the game, there's a little variation because, you know, the portal causes you to, transport between two different locations. So there's going to be some delay. The guy said that the portals basically gave the basic idea of terminal velocity in there, and he's got some other lessons on there. I didn't get to check all of them out. I got to check the one that was up on the page there, but he puts these all up on YouTube and you can see them, and these are really interesting, and it's just a fun way of teaching. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, when Portal 2 came out, I almost bought it because it looked really cool and a lot of people were talking online about how much fun it was. But I heard it was a puzzle game, mm-hmm. and I'm not a big fan of puzzles, especially when I'm playing video games because, you know, I'd rather be fighting and blowing shit up.
Right.
That's just me. But what these teachers are doing with Portal is they're teaching kids math and physics,
yes.
which is really cool. And the article says that the physics teacher is also a gamer, and he is trying to incorporate this software as an educational tool. And that's just awesome.
Yes.
As you mentioned, the article contained a video which contained one of his lessons, and he was showing, like, you know, how they figure out velocity with these portals. He would shoot a portal into the floor and into the ceiling, and he would have the little robot jump through the portal, and it would go through the the holes in the floor repeatedly till he reached terminal velocity, and then he would mathematically calculate how fast he was going.
Right.
And I was like, wow, this is so cool.
Yes.
I need to get this video game.
It's a lot of fun.
I've been bitten by the bug again. I need to go get it. Like, that's just so neat.
It is. It's. I sat here and watched my daughters play this game for several hours. It was like, okay, well, I would like, well, try this. No, don't try that. No, try this. And I was like, they would either say, oh, that's not a bad idea, or they'd say, shut up, I'm playing. Because you know how teenagers are when they're playing their video games, or anybody for that matter.
Right.
Do you have any other thoughts on that, Joe?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, video games is just straightforward. Like, I want to move. I want to do things. I want to accomplish things. Mm-hmm. And when I get to Roblox, like, I've played puzzle games before. I played Tomb Raider. Yep. And, like, and it's just like, all right, now you got to figure out the combination of blocks to push things around in. And I'm just like, I have no fucking patience for this shit. I turn it off and throw in, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto or something. I'm like, yeah, let's go fuck shit up.
Yeah. Either you go, okay, why can't I just blow this up with a grenade or something?
I know a guy who actually makes puzzles. He actually designs puzzles, and he's really proud of them. He makes his wife solve puzzles to find, like, anniversary gifts, which is really romantic. You know, and he'll, like, talk to me about how awesome puzzles are, and I'm just like, no, dude, I don't identify.
There's one you can get. I actually used to own this. I have no idea what the hell happened to it. It's really old puzzle. You take two horseshoes like this, and then you put a chain between the two.
And
then you put there's a ring in between. And you have to try to figure out how to get the ring off.
I used to know the solution to that, but I forgot.
Still do, actually. And I have a similar puzzle to that. It's up on my here. Thank you. I got this like for $20 from a guy that used to make these. You have to get the ring. I haven't played with this in a while. It's a little dusty, but you have to get the ring off of the wood block here. See, and you can't take it off past the wooden pieces because the ring is too small for the wooden block. And there's a solution to this. I have to play with it for like 5 or 10 minutes before I figure it out.
Wait, you happen to have a puzzle sitting there on your desk?
No, it's actually sitting on over on my entertainment center. So I play with it occasionally, or I challenge somebody to try to figure that out without ripping it apart. So I like collecting little puzzles like that every once in a while when I can. So it's something just for fun, you know. And Joe, did you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I wanted to add that I needed and fries.
Thanks, Joe. Crystal, your thoughts on this?
I think this is really interesting. I don't have a whole lot to add to what you and Joe both have already said, but I do think it's something that would be great to introduce to kids like in elementary school. And I think really even more so boys than with girls, because they are so already immersed in the game culture. I think that would be a great way to learn it. Plus, it's a visual way of learning something that's just boring to me, and math is boring.
Yes.
If you sit there and talk to me about it, I'm just going to
glaze over. Have your eyes glaze over?
Exactly. The biggest brain fog you've ever seen. But if you can show me and I can connect that with a visual thing, it made sense to me. The video made sense to me. So I think it's wonderful.
Yes. You know, actually, I have to disagree with you a little bit on one point. Girl gamers are getting to be becoming more prevalent. And my daughters, were, like I said, would play this game like all the time too. So girl gamers are out there. They're not as prevalent as male gamers are, but they're starting to pick up in popularity. So I think this is math should be for everybody, not just for boys. So at least in that respect, anyway. But I mean, I agree with you. This is a great way of showing, putting a visualization with what's going on. So it stimulates both senses of brain. All right. Well, let's on to our next topic here. Freeze frame. Tonight's is our Focus on Photography segment, and we're here with Michael. How are you doing this evening?
I'm upset because my podcast got deleted. It's not fair.
Yeah, Michael was having some issues with his webpage. Somebody got in, hacked his account, and deleted his account. First, they started changing stuff, as he was telling me earlier this week, and then they decided to say, fuck you, after he changed all the passwords, and and they deleted his accounts, unfortunately. So the Biography Photography podcast is unfortunately no more.
What's his new podcast called?
But he is working on a new one. What is that one going to be called, Michael?
Well, I'm not working on a new podcast. I'm basically, I've been wanting to set up my own photography business for a while.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of doing what I've been planning to do for quite a while.
Well, so it's kind of a screw one thing and let's just start something else?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is basically for this one, it'll be a social thing, so you can get, you can see my Twitter account on it, you can see my Facebook, Google, YouTube, and all that sort of thing when they start coming about. It'll be a personal/business thing.
Yeah.
So it'll be, so when I go on holiday, for example, you can follow me because I'll take a laptop on my Kindle and I'll blog every single day, post some pictures, post some video, all that sort of thing.
Right.
As we go along. So my topic tonight is social photography.
Okay. Social photography. Okay.
Well, when I say social photography, I'm not talking as in, oh yeah, socializing with friends around photography. I'm talking social as in Twitter, Flickr, Google+, and Instagram.
Okay.
I'll start off with Instagram first. Instagram is one of the biggest websites at the moment for taking photos, especially on your mobile phones, and now with some cameras that have got built-in Android,
yep,
where you can download apps and stuff, you can get the Instagram on those, so you can get them on professional cameras now.
Oh, yeah.
Where basically that's become a big hit because they've got some effects on there which cannot be found in any other program anywhere.
Like what?
You've got Pro X2.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Pro 2.
Well, what do these particular effects do, Michael?
Well, basically, you've got Pro X2 will give it a sepia effect, whilst at the same... and a sepia effect is when you get with a film camera, if they're left for years and years and years, you get that yellowy sort of browny effect on that. That's called sepia. And then you get, and with that, it gives you a sort of modern day effect. So it also makes it still look as if it was taken yesterday, but still gives you a sort of sepia effect on top. But it doesn't make it look old.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And then you've got things like, you've got the normal black and white, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You've got...
I like the old original. I like the original black and whites where there was a richness to that black and white. I mean, we can do black and white now, but the black and whites from back then, there was just a richness to it. I don't think they've been able to quite duplicate.
No, on the computer, there are certain effects which cannot be duplicated ever.
Yeah.
They will never, ever, ever be duplicated.
Well, I never say never, but for right now, I mean... You just, I just think right now, we just don't.
No, for some effects, you can actually say never because of the fact that the computer will not be able to see in the same way as a human person can see.
Really?
So in that aspect, you can say never because the computer will never see the same way as what our brain would see unless you give artificial intelligence, which... Not a good idea.
Yes, I have seen Terminator.
No, I was thinking more of The Matrix.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah, that's
whole, anyway, that's getting back to topic.
Right.
Yeah. So you've got Instagram, and then you've got Flickr.
Right.
Now Flickr's a good one because although you have to pay for extra storage, which is only about if you go by English money, £15 a year,
mm-hmm,
which is good because you can link so many different photography websites to this website and be able to follow, and be able to put your pictures straight on there so you can save them under the rest of your photos and show them what you're doing and get people's comments and stuff like that.
Right.
And Flickr's also good because it becomes sort of a portfolio for your photography, which most, because of how the popularity and how many professional photographers and amateurs use it now, if you go to, for example, a photography company that want to see your work, because it's on the internet, first of all, that's easy because if they've got a computer in front of them, which most businesses will do now, you can just go, oh yeah, go to here, blah, 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 here's my work.
That's
which
true.
Gives it a portability without carrying all your folders around and
USBs and mobile phones and tablets and all this sort of thing. And it also is a good way to show your work, because most photography companies now consider that as a portfolio.
Oh, that's nice. At least, you know, at least the photography industry is realizing that, you know, if it's put up on the internet, it doesn't diminish the quality of the work.
Oh no, especially not with Flickr in any way whatsoever, because there's a format you can do on cameras called RAW, and this format is
it's really a large file because with a RAW file, if I'm not mistaken, let me see if I got this right. The file is huge. We're talking megabytes of a RAW file, just one picture, because it literally grabs every aspect of all the lighting that comes into the camera. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Here's another way of explaining it. Imagine a straight line.
Okay.
When you take a picture in RAW of that straight line, the line will be exactly straight. But whereas if you take the picture, the same picture in, for example, JPEG, you would then get a slight angle variation, for example,
right,
which means that it's had to squish, squish the image to fit in and make it smaller. Whereas with RAW, you've got every single detail in there, so the line can stay completely straight at the right length.
Yeah, because with the RAW file, if I'm not also mistaken, because it's gathering all the information, and JPEGs, what it does to save space and compression is a lot of little details that most people would probably not see by the naked eye or even realize are actually omitted from the picture. Okay.
And one thing I always say to people is, because once you've edited RAW and everything else, you can change it back to a JPEG, which doesn't diminish the image at all, actually, because if you've edited it first, it will make it look perfect when it goes to JPEG. Mm. But what I usually suggest to people is, if you can do RAW on your camera, always shoot in RAW and then convert to JPEG later on.
Ah, that's not a bad idea. That is if you have it available to you for your particular camera. I mean, you know, most cell phones, people are out there with their cell phones. That's what I use. But I can't change it to RAW. It just doesn't do it on the iPhone anyway.
Well, there is an app, actually.
Does there?
If I remember the name rightly, it's called My Little RAW. My Little RAW.
Okay.
And what that does is it allows you to take RAW files on a BlackBerry Android device or an Apple device.
Really? Okay.
And then what it does is, because it's called My Little RAW, it doesn't take it in the ginormous format that you would get for your cameras. It takes it in little formats, so that you are able to take RAW with your camera on the mobile phone, mm-hmm, and still be able to not use all your space with one photo.
That's good.
You can still take about, like, what, 10 or 20 photos.
Well, that's good, at least. You know, that's where you're not taking up so much space with just one photo. That's always been a problem with RAW photos. But I have heard that if you're going to take pictures and you want to do a really good job with it, you take it with a RAW picture. Speaking of RAW pictures, thank you, Michael. That was very informative. We should really get moving on here. And we've got the tonight's photos for the photo pick for all the photos that everybody contributed to the channel on the Focus on Photography segment over on Facebook. And I want to thank everybody. Took some really interesting pictures, and that's exactly what we wanted to do. So Michael's got our first pick for tonight. Michael, go ahead and tell us what you liked about this one.
Shh, don't tell Packard it was his photo.
I see you decided to chose you chose my picture here.
Yes, I chose this one because I thought it was very interesting because of the fact that you don't usually see things made out of snow or ice and things like that. So I found it interesting because of the fact that it's strange. It's something you wouldn't usually see in life. Basically, it's quite interesting, as they say.
Yeah, this was, I happened to look over And they had it's even looks even better at night because they actually put up lights in front of it, and they have the lights converging in a certain pattern. I took a picture of it. I tried to get a picture of it while I was driving by, but it's really piss poor, so I didn't submit it. But this one, I actually walked up there and I took a close picture of it, and it's all ice and snow. I mean, I was like, wow, I'd never seen anybody make. And the thing is, with me, was interesting about it. The fact is that the queue, because it's in a big pattern like this, it's to get snow to stand up like this at that angle and stay without folding over, you know?
Well, yeah, but I think the way they managed to do that was to put the little tail at the end, which gives it a bit of a.
I think they could have done a no. I mean, I'm talking of the top didn't collapse in on top of itself there.
Oh yeah, that's that. I think because I've got some pictures on my Flickr account, which I'll give the link to in the chat room in a second.
Okay.
Where somebody down the bottom of my road when we the year before had snow, they made an igloo in the little park down the bottom of my road.
Well, that's kind of cool. Out here, we have this thing called, it's a whole section of block. There used to be a building there at one time. They took her out the building. They couldn't, the city couldn't figure out what to do with it, so eventually it became like a little park for a while, and it still was up for debate what they were going to do with it, and so they decided to call it the Big Lawn, which is really the biggest fucking stupidest thing I ever heard. But
that makes sense.
Yeah, but they just call it the Big Lawn. They put a couple paths in there, and they put a sound stage up on there now. It looks really nice. It adds something to the city, but the name is really stupid. I think they could have came up with a better name. But over there, and I didn't get a picture of this, but they've got a slide made of snow, and they've got a nice design sitting on the front. I'll have to get a picture of that and maybe post it later, but it's really pretty too. But anyway, yeah, thank you, Michael, for picking mine this week. And for which house I had the most likes up on the page was this one here by D438. I thought this one was actually kind of interesting myself. This was taken at the Big Bean in Chicago, and everybody was laying down and yet standing up in the reflection. It was really kind of cool. So congratulations, D, and for getting the most likes on the page there. Michael, did you have any comments you wanted to make on this picture before you put it away?
Yeah, and I like the fact that you've got the reflection of the people standing at the bottom there, and I like the way that we kind of the way that it kind of outlines them as well, with the shape of the bean.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of makes everybody look. You know, like when you go into a hall of mirrors,
yeah,
you get all that different shapes and sizes and things. Well, if you look at the bottom, most people look kind of skinny.
Yeah.
But then if you look at the top, they've got a bit of a fat belly on them.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So that's what fascinates me, where you've got that hall of mirror effects.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really kind of cool, I thought, anyway. All right. All right. Well, yeah, let's get into our photography assignment for this evening. And Michael, what is our photography assignment this evening then?
Frosty.
Frosty. Oh, I like that. See, this February. I think that's really appropriate that we're doing the word frosty for the photography challenge this week. So, yeah. So get out there and get your pictures taken and put them in the Focus on Photography group. And I will put them all together in that all the pictures that everybody submitted and into a nice little little video. And I will put that up on up on YouTube here in the next couple of days. And maybe if you're lucky to be done by Sunday too.
Oh. I'd just like to mention though before I go.
Okay.
Can we try to make the pictures new?
Yes.
So recently taken. Because there is a way, and I can always tell, I can tell this, there's a way that when it's all done, I'm going to download all the photos onto the computer and go into the properties, and I can check when these photos were taken.
Right.
And the new thing I'm going to do is I'm only going to take photos that have been, I'm only going to use photos that have been taken during that month.
Right. So, yeah, we want to make sure that your photos are new. The whole idea of this project is go out and take fresh pictures. Don't take them from, like, 2 years ago. Don't go digging through your archives, and don't dig them off the internet. Just go out and have fun and take your pictures. So get out there and have some fun with your camera and get something frosty. All right, Michael, thank you so much. And that's we will talk with you if we're lucky. Maybe we'll have you guest again on the show, you know, if somebody can't make it or whatever. And then, or we'll see you next month. Either way.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye now. Okay, let's get into our next topic. Beer is an amazing thing. It's liquid bread, as I've often heard it said. No, I'm not trying to be a poet. I don't believe I actually did that. Up in Alaska, they have a beer brewery company out there. What they're doing is with all the excess, the waste, basically, they've the excess barley that gets produced from all the other stuff there, they are taking that and they are putting it back into the system to make more beer. What's really interesting here is that most beer companies would take their excess barley and they would give it to the farmers, or they'd sell it to the farmers by the tonnage, and so they could feed the animals and whatnot. But being all the way up in Alaska, there's not that many farms in that general area where they're at. There's like 37 farms in the southern eastern of Alaska, and 680 in the entire state as of 2011. So that's not a whole lot of farms for all these beer companies to spread all their barley around. Plus, all this stuff has to be dried and before it can be shipped, and there's no roads in and out of there. It's either by plane or by ship, and that's just really expensive to ship it. So to turn this back into a fuel is really interesting. I could see that maybe someday, that instead of us being powered by coal or solar or whatever, maybe we're all being powered by beer. I'm not drinking, officer. I'm trying to help the economy and trying to save energy. Show your thoughts.
Anyway, yeah, I love beer just as much as the next guy. And, you know, sometimes a company's profits are what drive innovation.
Yes.
And this is a good example of that. They are burning their waste product in a specially made boiler to make more of the product that they sell,
right,
which is the beer.
Yes.
This saves them both the energy costs and the waste removal, because what beer producers in the lower 48 states do is they take the spent grain and they just sell it to the local pig farmers and
yep.
whatever, and it's animal feed.
Yep.
But they're all the way up in Alaska making beer.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody who has a microbrew, that's a job of passion.
Yes, it is.
That's something that you do because you love it.
Yep.
And these guys, like, they don't have that option. There's not a lot of farms, there's not a lot of livestock up in Alaska where they can just take the waste grain and sell it to farmers. So they had to actually ship it by plane down to the lower 48 to sell it.
Uh-huh.
So what they did was they went and they were like, all right, I have an idea. Let's use the grain to burn it in a boiler to make more beer.
That was kind of interesting the way they did that. I thought, you know, what's interesting is that they only get $60 for every ton. And mm-hmm. When they were sent to the lower 48, it would cost them $30 to ship. So they're only making half what they would normally make on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, I mean, this saves them on both the energy costs and the waste removal.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be noted that this project was subsidized with a $500,000 grant from the federal government. But, you know, saving energy and money is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
So. Yeah, exactly.
And
so,
it's going for a great cause. Beer!
Absolutely. I mean, you know, realistically, things like this, we're going to see more of it.
Yes.
Because as the world's oil reserves begin to dry up, as it's harder and harder to find more oil in the world, we're going to have to find energy from other places.
Yes.
And, you know, using something that you have that you can burn and just make the energy yourself, that just makes common sense.
Yes.
It makes common sense. I mean, businesses look for ways to save money, and this is a way that this business found a way to save money. And you know, their energy costs was $450,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
just to cook the beer, just to ferment it, just to boil it or whatever that yep. they do. And they bought a $500,000 boiler with the federal grant, and now they're going to save that exact same amount of money every year.
Yep. That's kind of cool.
There you go.
Yes, there you go. That's just amazing. You know, at least they're thinking. You know, the thing is they suggest this to Anheuser-Busch, but they said, yeah, we use some of our stuff as a coal fuel. So mm-hmm. it helps some of to save some of their money in profit, but they don't want to go to the whole thing because they say it's not viable for their businesses. But I think that they're overlooking it, to tell you the truth. I think right. that right now that they just don't want to get the
Anheuser-Busch breweries are right down here in the 48 states.
Yep.
Down here, I say that so, you know. Anyway, they're right down here in the 48 states, and so they easily sell their grain mash, their waste product, to the farms for pig feed.
Yes.
So they have they don't have the issue of, you know, being up in Alaska having to pay for bringing in the oil to burn it to make the fire and then shipping the stuff out to, you know, I mean, it's a win-win for this brewery up in Alaska.
Absolutely.
You know what's really cool is this brewery only sells to, I think it was like, what, 15 or 16 states?
Wisconsin's one of them.
Yes, I was going to say Wisconsin is one of them, which means you can get this beer. Can get the Alaskan Brewery beer, and I think you should get some of it and send it to me.
I was thinking something along those lines. I say, you know, I should find out which brew this is, and I'll taste some. I'm not a big beer drinker myself. The closest thing I have is non-alcoholic beer, and I buy it, and then it sits in the refrigerator for like years.
It's from the Alaskan Brewing Company, and they're famous for their ales.
Yes. So
they're an ale brewer, which means a warm fermented yeast.
Yeah.
Because a lager is a cold fermented yeast.
Yeah.
So
I will have to check this out. This is really interesting. I mean, I do get some regular beer every once in a while, but like I said, I get flavored beers. But even those sit in bottles for like ever. Like I said, I'm not a big drinker. I just don't have the desire, I guess. Crystal, your thoughts?
There's not a whole lot to add to what you guys said, really. I think you said it all, really. It's interesting that the answer really is right there underneath their own noses. And for them to say that this was an in-house solution to really many problems and not mm-hmm. only going green, but that's a lot of money they're having to spend to process something that they're not getting very much of a turnover on for it. And I'm all for going green and doing your part. I thought it was interesting that, like, Anheuser-Busch said that they do it as a co-fuel, but it only provides about 9% of their total direct fuel.
Yeah.
Here, this company saying it's offset our company, yearly earnings cost by 70% or that $450,000 a year that Joe was speaking of.
Right.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Go beer.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what's really important here? Sorry to cut you off, Packard, but no, I want to know what Crystal's favorite beer is.
What is your favorite beer, Crystal?
Favorite beer? I just like Bud Light.
Bud Light?
Yeah.
Half the alcohol and half the taste. No. Just kidding.
but then again, I'm not a drinker. I'm not a really big drinker at all, and I'm not a huge beer drinker. But if I go out every once in a while, just a Bud Light.
Yeah. See, if I go out, I have the hard liquor. That's and it still doesn't affect me. But you know, but I'd rather drink that than I'd drink beer because it's.
I imagine Packard floating in a tube, on a pool, with a Long Island iced tea, little umbrella. Yeah. Long straw.
I'm a margarita girl.
Yeah.
Margarita. Do you get salt or no salt?
Oh, salt.
Oh, you got
to you got to have the salt.
You have to have salt. Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's what I've heard. I've never actually had one myself, so the closest thing I've had is like non-alcoholic margaritas.
Yo, Packard, you and me, we got to get together. We got to go to Tijuana.
Tijuana! I'm driving.
There you don't want back. To drive to Tijuana because you can't drive back.
Yeah, watch me. I'll be the only one still sober. All right, well, on to our, speaking of being sober, this is a sobering event. This would sober you up really fast. A man had just bought a home, and he was out cleaning the fire pit, and he found a pair of old military grenades in the fire pit. You know, that would sober you up. If you were drunk, that would sober you up real fast, because you don't want to mess with these things. The officer there evacuated a 300-foot area around the house on Sunday. They said that after the explosives were discovered, but they still have not detonated them. This was just from this last Sunday. Here it's Friday already, and these grenades have been sitting there, you know, who knows how long they've been sitting in this fire pit, but they haven't even exploded these things yet, so they don't even know if they're still active or not. If it were me, I'd be like, please just get rid of them now. I don't want to wait till they decide to go off by themselves. But they said that the pins that are in the grenades were still intact, which is good. These could be dummies that someone thought, screw it, you know, I'll just throw them in there as a gag and let them figure it out. Or if they had, let's say they were live, and they didn't see them, and they threw, you know, started a bonfire in there. They're standing there by their grill cooking their meat or their vegetables or whatever, and these things blew up. That could have been tragic. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I keep my grenades in the kitchen bread box. Because, you know, the fire pit is a terrible place to keep them because, as the article says, they get rusty.
Yeah.
You know, you keep them outdoors, they're in the fire pit. You know, you're burning fires all day long. It rains. You know, iron rusts. It just rusts. You don't want your grenades rusty.
No, you don't want them rusty.
And, you know, who wants to lob a rusty grenade over the neighbor's fence?
You know, not me.
You could get tennis from that. That's horrible. You need to get that shot like every 7 years or some shit.
How'd you cut yourself? I cut it on my grenade.
Well, I was throwing a grenade at my neighbor, and now I have tetanus. Can I have a shot, please?
You know, not to cut you off, this reminds me. There's this old TV show called Hogan's Heroes, and there was this one particular episode where they had some dynamite sitting out, and the guard Schultz, he's coming in. So everybody's like, "Where are we gonna hide the? We gotta hide this dynamite." So they threw it into the stove. It's like, why would you throw it in the stove? Well,
you can't throw dynamite anyway,
right? No. I mean, they placed it all inside the wood stove there. So, and it was a little cold outside and everything. But so they're like, who's gonna think of keeping dynamite in a stove? That would be the last place anybody would look. So he asked for a cigarette. He lights it up. He's just about to throw it into the stove, and they stop him just before, you know, it gets he throws it in there. So there was a little hilarious situation there, you know, that, you know, you don't want to have the the dynamite going off in the stove there. But this is the same kind of situation. I mean, it's in a fire pit, so explosives. Mm-hmm. So go on, Joe. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But
no, that's fine. like you mentioned, they don't know if the grenades are armed or not.
Right.
As soon as I read this article, I was very curious to know, like, were these live grenades?
Yes.
Because, you know, they were in a fire pit. I mean, who the heck throws a grenade in a fire pit?
Right.
So my first reaction was like, okay, are they? So I went and looked for an update on the article.
Mm-hmm.
The article was from 5 days ago, and all the articles I could find about it said the bomb squad's going to blow them up on Sunday.
Yeah,
Sunday is 2 days from now.
Yes.
They haven't blown them up yet, which means they're sitting in some, like, bunker somewhere. Like, the bomb squad has them in this, like, sealed bunker, and they're like, all right, on Sunday, we're going to take them out there on the bomb range, and we're going to see if they're real. And they're going to blow them up with charges.
It just says that here that they're just planning on detonating. It doesn't say that they're going to take them to a bunker. I don't think they've moved them.
That's what the bomb squad does. Is usually they take them to a safe place because, you know, this was in the back backyard of a house.
Right.
They had to evacuate 300 yards around the house.
A 300 foot.
What they usually do is they remove the explosive, take it to a bomb range, and then they put like a dome over it, and the dome has C4 all around inside of
Yeah.
Then they just blow up inside the dome and destroy. A lot of times they don't even know if it was a live explosive or not. They just blow the shit up because they love doing that shit. But
let's go blow something up.
But, you know, dead grenades, dummy grenades, those are real easy to get. I mean, I had one when I was a kid. It had the, you know, there was a hole drilled in the bottom of the metal where the explosive was removed. And the top was, you know, the spoon, the pin, and the spring. That's the three parts for grenade. So you pull the pin out. You let go of the spoon. The spoon is thrown by the spring, and the spring flips over and hits the charge, which then gives you like 3 to 5 seconds to get rid of it before it blows up.
Right.
So, you know, I had one of those when I was a kid. I would sit there and play with it all the time. I was like, you know, and it was a dead though. It was a dud. Like you can go to any Army Navy store and get one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's real common. So this guy is like, you know, like, I'm going to clean up my fire pit. Oh shit, there's a grenade. So like, you know, all this tax dollar money is being spent, and like, and you know, the bomb squad guys are like, those are duds. we had to come out here for this.
Yeah. You know, I used to watch a lot of TV. I don't watch as much anymore, but this reminds me of you're talking about, since the user fake. There was an episode of MASH where somebody had Rizzo had a fake grenade, and he was like pretending like he'd throw himself onto this grenade. It was like, oh no, it's gonna go off. Oh no, the pin fell out. Oh no, everybody make everybody fly, run out. And so he'd like throw himself on this fake grenade. He's like, I'll save you and everything. Like, oh, you saved my life, blah blah blah. So he's trying to scam people into thinking that this grenade is live. So and then he got himself scammed in the end, which was brilliant. Yes. It was brilliant. Crystal, your thoughts?
Well, I've got a personal story. This, I actually did find one. I live right near a river, and this is.
You found a grenade?
I found one, actually.
Holy shit.
There's a lot of historical stuff and battles that were fought around my area. So,
Is this a modern grenade or is it an older grenade?
No. It was an older, much older grenade, but, found it along the riverbank, and we did, like Joe said, we did have to call the bomb squad out, and then they come out with this big lead-enforced huge truck, and they take it, and then the cop turned around and told me that they'd have trouble. They'd just go on the shooting range and fire that thing up. They just like to go blow stuff up. So we do know that it was an original one. They did have a curator from the museum come down and take a look at it. And
that's cool.
So, I mean, it was...
Did he say what you?
But as far as would it actually blow up or not, they don't know. They're just gonna go blow it up.
Yeah. Did they say what you? How old the grenade possibly was?
They said they thought it was from the Civil War times.
Wow.
I didn't know they had grenades in the Civil War.
It's not that unusual to find people around here that have found them and they use them for like door stops. I shit you not, they do. And like, I was afraid. Like, I was just worried that some kid would find it. You know, and who knows? Those things are old, and it was buried in river mud, and we'd had a lot of rain, and then the rain subsided, and as it was pulling back, these things started coming up, and I was just afraid a kid would get a hold of it or something. So they took a lot of pictures of it. Everybody was really fascinated with it. But
did you get any pictures of it?
You know, I actually did.
Oh, you got it.
Nice.
You got to post that.
My memory cards, but it was kind of weird because I wasn't that afraid of it. I mean, I was holding it in my hands and stuff. I figured if I'd be really careful, I'd be all right, and I didn't think that it would still do anything by now.
You actually picked this thing up.
I actually did pick that thing up.
Oh, my gosh. And your name's not, nickname's not Lefty, is it?
No, not Stumpy either.
If you had gone to the bomb range and seen what they'd done with it, you'd be like, I had that in my hand.
I know. But we were in an area that, I mean, I know the cops or policemen, I don't know. We had a whole slew of people show up. It was a bunch of kids around there, and I just didn't feel comfortable with leaving it down there.
Jeez.
And that's really the only reason I would have moved it.
Wow. I wouldn't have picked it up. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but I know, but I would rather something to happen to me than a kid. You know what I'm saying?
I understand, but geez. I would just say getting everybody back, say I'm going to call the cops. You know, don't bother. I'm not.
You know, it's real easy to say, like, oh, I wouldn't have touched that, but, like, when you find something that cool out in the wilderness, like, it's like, oh, I got to touch that.
It is neat because it was like much heavier than I expected it to be.
Yeah, you know, those things are about 3 pounds, aren't they?
It was heavy. Yeah,
I think they're about 3 pounds, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably so. I mean, that was probably about the weight.
There's somebody out there would have gone. Let me go get the golf clubs. You know, whack. Grenade. So wow, that's. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words right now.
I know it is a neat story, but yes. Like I said, it is not unusual to see people using them down here at all. They don't think anything about it. They think they're old and they're not, you know, going to blow up. So
they put it as a doorstop. I mean, that's
doorstops.
You know, the thing is, you know, if the salesman comes by and he can't get you to buy anything, he'll pull the pin on your grenade and walk away. I'm coming in to sell you something one way or the other. No, that's terrible.
That would take care of your Jehovah's Witnesses now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I start tossing this thing around. Yeah, well, by the way, did you have something you wanted to say?
Crystal endorses using handheld grenades to fight off Jehovah's Witnesses.
Absolutely. And I approve this message.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. Okay. Let's get on to our next topic.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
Over in Saudi Arabia, there's a man. He is he's not just any man, I suppose. He's a cleric, one of those Islamic clerics. He raped his own daughter, then killed her. What's so amazing about that? He didn't serve any jail time. He paid the equivalency of $50,000. That's about U.S. American. It was 200 rials, whatever that is. The money they use over there is rials, reals. And he got out of jail. He was shortly in prison until the fine was paid. And he's not going to serve any time. Because over there, women are not treated as equals. They are property. When he raped his daughter, he anally raped this girl. Then he tried to take something hot and tried to seal the wound over this child's ass. And I was reading this, and I'm sitting here with my eyes about the size of silver dollar pancakes going, how could anybody treat their daughter like this? I was beside myself. And he had crushed his daughter's skull, broke ribs, broke the left arm of the child. And I couldn't believe this. I mean, over there, women are considered to be minors, and they're automatically assigned to care for judgment of the male representative, so they could be sold as marriage to somebody else, for one. And they're banned from work if the man decides that they don't want them to work. Or let's say the woman has a medical problem. The husband can say, no, she's not going to the doctor. She'll be fine. She's bleeding from the neck. It's squirting out her neck. Nah, she'll be fine. She don't need to go to the hospital. Fuck her. She's my property. And there's nothing more to it. Over there, also, Islamic law allows them that fathers cannot be executed for murdering their children, nor husbands can be executed for murdering their wives. This is despicable and disgraceful. These laws are barbaric, and I can't think of anything more that is just blatantly crazy. And it just pisses me off to no end that religion over there runs rampant. And people here in the United States think that we should be a religious nation. This is the kind of shit that we could be looking at if we became a religious nation. This is why I am so fervent about keeping religion out of our government. Because shit like this could happen here. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, I completely agree with a lot of what you just said. This is a very sad story. The little girl who was only 5 years old was named Lama Al-Ghamdi. And I think it's important that we mention her name because she died so tragically.
Yes.
Her father was a well-known Islamic cleric that made frequent appearances on TV talking about Islam. And he did some really horrible and unspeakable things to this little girl, and she died.
Yes.
His fine, as you said, was only $50,000 with no jail. And that's because in Saudi Arabia, as you mentioned, women are considered minors, which means they're the property of their husband, father, or closest male relative. When it comes to cultures like this, I used to think years ago, when in Rome, you know, that's their business. But I can't think that way anymore, because human rights are human rights, regardless of the accidental geographic location of your birth.
Right.
Little Lama got no justice, and her murderer, or her father, is a monster.
Yes. And you know what? It's even worse here. The reports that indicated that the father... No, this girl was 5 years old. Okay, five years old. And the father doubted her father, this girl's virginity. Was she out at the bar? Was she out at the bar picking up strangers?
Sticking his own penis in her.
Yes, and he was sticking his own penis in her, and he doubted her virginity. The only way you could doubt that is if you were there doing it. Asshole! Navy SEALs, if you're out there and you're watching this, there's your mission. There's your next mission. Go get him. Go get him.
You're going to send the Navy SEALs after this guy.
I'm not the president. I can't send the directive. Go get him. Go get him.
Yeah, I wonder, was this guy given such a lenient sentence because of Saudi Arabian laws? Because that's the way their culture is? Because, you know, fathers are allowed to murder their daughters and that's okay? Or was it because this guy was a prominent Islamic cleric who was on TV preaching Islam all the time?
I think it's a combination of both.
It's almost like celebrity justice. Like, which was it? Was it because of the culture, or was it because of who he was, I don't know.
I think it's a combination of both. Because over here, celebrities get away with so much shit. I can't think of any celebrity that can get away with doing something stupid that you could get thrown in jail for, that you and I would be, you know, do not pass go, do not collect $200, do not even get a chance to say goodbye to mama. You know, you'd be gone. These people, they're in and out like, you know, like they just walk through a revolving door. So, and I think that's where the case is here, because he was, one, it's a man, and two, he was a celebrity, as it were, in the religious nation. Crystal's the one that found this, and I'm waiting to hear what she has to say. Crystal, your thoughts.
Preach, well, Crystal.
To answer what I think the... To Joe's question, I researched this a little bit further than just what little we've had here. And apparently, Joe, they say that had he not been a cleric, this would have gotten absolutely no coverage at all.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. That because it was a female child, this is not something that is unheard of in that culture. And a certain would not have even been blown up even in the United States. It would have just been... that was the way it is. But since he was a cleric, this was why the story has unfolded. And actually, Todd's the one that found this, so I'm going to give props to the wizard, Todd. He really did originally find this story.
Thank you, Todd.
This story has just broken my heart. It really has. And it's just wrong on so many levels. But, I mean, I also have sense enough to know that there's crazy on many levels, and it doesn't require you to affiliate yourself with any religion or non-religion. This man obviously is a sick bastard, and there is no place hot enough for him to go spend some time.
I don't believe in hell, but if there were, I'd want him there.
Exactly. He, $50,000 was the price for a torture. And let me just read this if you're not familiar with this story. He admitted he used canes and cables on this child. He crushed her skull. She had broken ribs. She had a broken left arm. She had the burning on her anal area, where he obviously knew he was wrong because he was trying to cover up
the injuries that he had caused, if that tells you how brutal this rape and assault of this child was.
He ripped and off then one of her fingernails, too.
Did kill her and use the excuse, like you said, Packard, that he doubted her virginity.
Yeah, and he also ripped off one of her fingernails as well. I mean, I had one of my daughters had her hand caught in the door, and one of her fingernails got cut off or something. I don't remember what it was exactly, but it got damaged and it came off. But having it physically removed like this is just...
Right, which he apparently did as part of the torturing process, and this wasn't just a matter of this child fighting and losing that nail that way. He actually did pull her fingernail out of the bed of her finger.
Yeah.
There is a Twitter campaign, and I know somebody's already put in the chat room. I saw it fly back a little bit ago. It's hashtag Analama. It's A-N-A-L-A-M-A, and that stands for I Am. But if there is anything that you can do to bring awareness to this, I'm asking you, please do so. There is a lot of people in the United States that are following this story, and I've just been trying to get on board with it, too. Had this been a male child, guys, this would not have... It would have been even more of an issue.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been double the amount. He would actually have been required to pay $100,000 if this was a male child.
Yeah, that's what burned me as well. That the women over there, they're not valued as half as much as the men are. Than the male of this, like you said, if it had been a male child, it would have been twice the amount. But he would have still gotten off.
Yes, absolutely. He still would have gotten off because of their laws. Now, I know this is a big issue, and I know that there's not really any nice answer, but I'm telling you, this child died last October, and just since hearing about the story, this beautiful little girl, and she is just, like, it haunted me. This is just absolutely horrible, and so I feel like if anything that I can do, if it's something as simple as draw awareness to it, then... That's what I'm going to do personally.
David Steele's, if you're out there, go get him. Go get him.
Yeah, Crystal's right. She's a gorgeous little girl. This article had a picture of her, and she's smiling, and it's like, oh, what a cute little girl. And for this asshole to fucking do the unspeakable shit to this girl, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Speaking of the father, I mean, I know Joe doesn't have any kids yet. And Crystal, she has a daughter as well, and I think a son as well. As a father, I do everything I can to protect my children as much as I possibly humanly can. It's always going to be something that are going to be out of my control, and those things I have to accept. But this is a fucking monster, and if I had the resources, I'd go fucking go get them myself. I would beat the fucker down myself.
He hated women so much that he stuck his own penis into his own daughter.
Yeah, people like this don't deserve to have, one, they don't deserve to have children, and two, they don't deserve to be alive anymore.
I just think on a humanist level, I don't know how you can turn your back and act like this is not happening anymore once you've been made aware. And it's like Dawkins said in the chat room right here, it's fucked up that Saudi Arabia will cut the hand off a thief but allows this to happen to a child.
Yes, that's a great point.
And exactly. His own child.
And yes, and his own child. I can't think of it more on this. It just burns me up. So if I don't know more to say on this. But this is a totally
hard
fucked
to
up.
Talk about.
It's a hard story to talk about. Our discussion tonight is for souls. I know it's kind of hard to go from that topic last one we went to this, but we have.
Well, you know, it's important to point out the fucked up shit that some religious people do.
Yes.
In order, because you know this guy justified what he did based on his religion. It's important to point that shit out for. The reason, you know, so that this shit doesn't keep going on.
Yes, it is.
And that's why, you know, and then, you know, now we can talk about souls.
Yes.
Sorry, little segue.
No, that's a good. Thank you. It just, I need to calm down, otherwise I'm going to end up tearing somebody's head off, and I don't want to do that.
You just start stabbing your green screen. You're like, I hate you, green screen! I hate you!
Anyway, tonight's topic is souls. And I'm not talking soul man, you know, I'm not talking like that. And I'm not talking about the soles in your shoes. I'm talking souls like people think that are these little entities that are floating around inside your body or some shit.
Well, shit, I'm not prepared then.
And neither am I. Actually, I did a little back research on this just before the show, so I'm a little prepared. And this has always been a issue with me because so people say, you know, if you ever watch like a show like South Park, they always make fun of redheads because they say they're soulless. Well, you know what? Everybody's soulless. There's no proof of souls. Anything that can't be measured in any way, shape, or form isn't real. It just isn't.
Oh, Packard, you have no soul.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment. And the thing is, though, there is supposedly an experiment out there that where they would put people on these gurneys or whatever. They would weigh them, and then the people were made to lift the last moments, and then the body would supposedly become lighter by several ounces. Actually, they say that's 7 ounces. But I did some research under that, and there is the testing that they did was so fucked up that they could have made it look like anything had happened. Because also the fact is bodily fluids leave the body at the moment of death, for one. And the way they did the testing was, like I said, was convoluted. So they didn't do it properly. And when they had to repeat the tests, they did not get anywhere near the same results, and the body did not lose any mass. So existence of souls is pretty much disproven. What really burns me up about souls is that, I'll put this out there, souls, you know, if you're supposed to burn for eternity, the question is, do souls have nerve endings? If they don't have nerve endings, how can you burn forever? If you especially have no nerve endings inside a soul, and if they're just a floating entity, there's nothing there to have any physical reaction to anything. So the whole notion of burning forever is fucking pointless. Because if souls, let's say they did exist and they have no nerve endings, then if you can't feel anything, then the whole burning in hell thing is completely pointless. All right, we're going to start the time, and we're going to start the roundtable discussion now. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead, me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Don't you love it when you get volunteered?
Do you like being volunteered?
Well, Packard, like you said, souls are supposed to be energy,
right?
And energy is detectable. And so, if you can't detect the energy of a soul, then how do you know it's there?
Right.
I was going to just freelance this one. I was just going to be like, "Oh, blah 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 blah. I don't believe in souls." Blah, blah. I actually did a little bit of reading up on this one before tonight, and what I found interesting was, you know, when a person dies, they stop breathing,
mm-hmm.
and I found it interesting to learn that words in many cultures for soul or spirits are similar to words to those for wind or air.
Really? Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly. So some anthropologists speculate that the idea of a soul or continuation of the self after death was created to try to understand what happens when people die.
Mm-hmm.
Also, humans, you know, we are social animals, and we become very attached to one another, and we know that when we die, we grieve.
Yes.
And grieving is a very deep and painful emotion. Other animals have been observed to exhibit grieving, like elephants. Sometimes they go to the elephant graveyard where, like, a lot of elephants have died. And they'll actually caress the bones, and they'll pick them up with their trunks and move them around, and they'll cry because they miss the dead elephants that they used to know.
Right.
So, you know, it's a natural phenomenon, grieving. And so
now keep going.
I So, souls and beliefs in the afterlife, be it heaven, hell, or nirvana, or reincarnation, etc., they're all constructs to help us thinking, feeling, and social animals deal with this emotion of grief.
Right. I know what you're talking about there with the elephants, because I've actually seen that, where the elephants actually, they will pick up the bones of the elephant that has died, and they will run their trunks over the tusks and the head and wherever the bones were, and as a way of remembering. And
they have very powerful their trunks are very powerful noses, and they can smell the bones and know which elephant that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and so they actually go to the graveyards and cry over their dead fathers and mothers and friends and relatives and stuff, and it's amazing. It really is, because, you know, we all like, if you're an intelligent enough animal, like humans are, like elephants are, like dolphins are,
right,
we know that, you know, once someone is gone, once our friend or our girlfriend or wife or whatever, once they're gone, that they're gone.
Yeah.
And we grieve for them, and it's a painful process. And so a lot of anthropologists have looked to ancient human history and said, all right, well, maybe religion or the belief in the afterlife or a soul is something that we developed to cope with that feeling of grief.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how comforting is it to think, like, oh, okay, I know your mom passed away, but she's in a better place now.
Yeah, I hate when people say that. That just pisses me off.
I know. And it's like, well, you know, if she was in a better place, she'd still be alive.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
I would hang out with her right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, it's words of comfort to help with that emotion, and it's a construct. It's a religious construct.
Yeah, I've never found those words very comforting myself. Those kind of words, when people say that kind of shit, it always pisses me off. Especially if it's little kids or whatever. It's like, that doesn't even make any sense for me.
Right.
But anyway,
the secular community really struggles with what to say in those moments, though, because like, the religious are always like, oh, it's okay, you know, they're either with Jesus or they're with Allah or they're with or they're going to be reincarnated into a better person now, and the secular community is like, well, guess what? They're fucking dead.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I like the way George Carlin put it, is when you die, your soul goes to a garage in Buffalo. Speaking of which, Crystal, we have about a minute and a half. I'm sorry, Joe. It kind of sucked up all the minutes there, but he made some excellent points.
He actually enjoyed reading that. And apparently, we really did actually cross reference each other. I've seen a good bit of that in what Joe was speaking of, so I enjoyed what you said. To me, I think that a soul or the existence of or what you're believing is just really a personal thing, and it is for me. I'm Christian, but I don't buy into the Christian everything, no more than you're atheist and you believe, I'll believe the same. It's a personal thing for me. I do believe that souls do exist. And I kind of subscribe to the theory that more that we're kind of, not that the soul's a separate thing, but that the body, the mind, the heart, the soul are as one. And that's my personal belief.
Where would the soul be?
I'm right or wrong, you know?
I got a question. Where does the soul live? I mean, is there a special organ that
Does air live?
The air lives, and the air is not alive for one. The air is around us.
It doesn't matter to me. That's not a question that I find that I need to answer. I know that I do, and I don't have to prove it. It's just something that I believe in. It does not encroach upon anybody else's beliefs. Do you know what I'm saying? That's something that's just personal and private to me. do I believe?
Sorry.
Is that the end of the discussion?
That was the end of the discussion, yes, unfortunately.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because, Crystal, I've actually talked to people, and they feel that the soul is an energy, and when a person dies, that energy leaves, the matter of your body. You know what I mean? And so you can't create or destroy energy, you can't create or destroy matter. So the energy moves onto another plane. And that's how souls have been described to me by theists. I don't completely agree with it, and I don't, you know, but I, that's just one way that it's been explained to me, and
yeah,
and
I think that's
interesting.
Yeah,
it is interesting, and I, and just talking to different people, I mean, you do hear that, and I can say that I have witnessed many deaths. I have been there for many deaths, and there is an energy, and I don't care to fight about it with anybody.
No.
I can just tell you there is. And I don't know. I think where we get an issue between groups, between beliefs, belief, whatever, is the fact that people want to equate morality with having a, quote, soul. And we all know that that is not true. You do not need to be a religious person to be a good moral person. And I do believe that in the end, that's where a lot of this clash comes from. But my whole point is, I'm not hurting you if I believe that.
My question is, all right, real quick here in the chat room, talking, as they saying December 15th, our souls have TCIP addresses. So. Well, and talking primarily, asked who is the soul collector. I mean, there's a great study. There's a great study. There's a reason why. There's another reason why souls don't exist, because everything we make us up is biochemical, everywhere from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And because there's a great study where they're split brain patients. They take the brain that's literally split right down the center, so they can talk with one side of their mouth, but they have to point with the other side of their body, because one side of the brain is controlling one side of the body, and the other one was controlling the other side of the body. And one side, when they were split the brain down the middle, one side believed in God and the other one doesn't. So what happens to the soul on the other side?
I don't know.
See? So if one side doesn't believe in God and the other one does, and if the soul is supposedly with... And what about twins? I mean, where does the soul start? Did it start many millions of years ago when we first came onto this planet?
No, I don't believe so. Because according to our teachings, that's not the way that I was taught.
Okay, where does it start in the womb when the two cells come together?
Packard, soul started in Detroit.
They're built in a factory in Detroit. Yeah, no, but the reason I bring that up is because I was watching the video by Matt Dillahunty this evening. People say that it starts in the womb when the fetus is first formed, then you know, what if the cells split to a and become twins? Do they share one soul? Is the soul split between the two, or just does just one get it and the other one doesn't? You know, is it they get like a half soul? Is this why they can't dance? I'm just kidding. I'm sure there are like twins out there that can dance rings around my ass. But the whole notion of soul, I think it's an outmoded concept overall. But anyway, this is a good discussion. Maybe we may come back to it again sometime. But we really need to get moving on because we are running way late tonight. So let's get into our next topic. Our funny tweet tonight comes from Bionic Dance. I love this one particularly.
Bionic Dance.
Yes. She's been out on Twitter a little bit more often than she out on YouTube lately. And so she was... said this, and it was really quite funny. And she said, repeat after me. I am an individual. I can think for myself. No one tells me what to do. This is in no way ironic.
That reminds me of the life of Brian. You're all individuals. Yes, we're all individuals.
Yes.
You can think for yourselves.
We can all think for ourselves. You don't have to repeat this. No, we don't have to repeat this.
Great, great, great moment.
I tried watching that. I tried to sit down and watch. I couldn't get through all the way through the movie. But I remember there's some
what?
Really.
You haven't watched all of
the
Life of Brian?
I didn't get a chance to watch it all the way through. No. I.
Oh,
I,
my.
I've, that, you know how busy I am?
Greatest movie ever.
I know. I've got to sit and finish watching. I like about halfway. So some parts are just slow. There's some slow parts there. But
like Lawrence of Arabia for atheists.
I will sit down and try to rewatch it again. When I get the chance to. Chris, did you have any comments on this Bionic Dance?
I thought it was a great tweet.
Yes, it was.
I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. It's very funny. Okay, well, let's get into our shout out for this evening. Our shout-out tonight is from me, and it's for Damn Skippy. I love the name. He follows me out on Twitter, and this is in his bio. He says, "Sacred cows make the best hamburger, and I'm always hungry. Me, a father, educator, paramedic, and humanist." If you're out there on Twitter, I have not spoken to Damn Skippy personally myself, but I saw his Twitter page, and he seems to be fairly active, and he doesn't have a whole lot of followers. So go out there and give him a shout-out and give him a follow and tell him you heard him on the show. And it's DAMMSKIPEE. Damn Skippy. That's a great name. It reminds me of when I was a kid.
I cheated this week. I actually went and looked at the shout-out for the week before you announced it, mm-hmm. and I looked at his profile, and I was like, oh, this guy seems pretty cool, actually, and so I followed him.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, definitely give him a follow, and if you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? Get out there and give him a shout. All right, let's get into our next topic.
Where in the world is the Wizard of Todd?
Todd. Last time we saw Todd, he was in Italy. As a matter of fact, he was in Bologna, Italy, being chased by some mobsters with knives. Let's see if we can get a hold of Todd. Todd, are you there, Todd?
Yes, I am here.
There you are, Todd. Wow. What happened out in Italy there? I was just saying that last time we saw you, you're being chased by, or heard from you, rather, that you're being chased by people with knives. What happened?
Well, let me say, what a bunch of baloney that was. Pardon my pun.
Well, tonight's been full of baloney.
What happened is I ran into the fashion police. They weren't angry I was singing a song about baloney. It just so happened that they didn't like the clothes I was wearing. You know, bright green kind of insults them a little bit. So it wasn't anything against me, but they decided that, you know, to sentence my clothing to death. And so they kind of cut it off my body, you see.
Oh, no.
And I didn't even have a barrel to put around me or anything like that. It was embarrassing. Yeah, you know, on top of it, they made me pay a fine, too.
Oh, that sucks. More on the corporate card, huh?
Of course. You think I was going to pay that?
Oh, well, hopefully it's not too much. I think we could probably bail you on that one there. Jeez. So it just, wow, I just couldn't believe that you're... Are you still over there in Bologna, Italy there?
Well, right now I'm in a limousine right now. Your new driver has picked me up. He's a rather interesting fellow. He seems a little bit. I don't want to talk out loud and so he can hear. But I think he's a little bit of an albino, maybe a little bit of sun. His first name is Opie, isn't it?
Opie.
Yeah.
Opie
Day.
Opie Day. Oh no!
Yeah,
I did send you a new person, but I told him to come out on the economy car, and he's not supposed to be there for several more days, and he's actually Asian.
He's Asian.
Yes.
Well, what's his name supposed to be?
I just saw it on the forums, and I can't remember what it was. It was Chang or something like that.
Chang. Well, this is certainly not an Asian fellow. It is Caucasian and a bit pale.
Oh, no. that's, I didn't send that guy for you. Did he have, like, hold up a sign with your name on it or something?
No, he just kind of came in like the goons usually do and just took me away. Let me try talking to him. Excuse me, Opie, what seems to be, oh dear, you know that little privacy thing? He just put that up. I might be in a little bit of trouble here. Let me try the doors. The doors are lockpackered, and, you know, the funny thing is we're kind of heading towards a tunnel.
Todd? Todd? I think we've lost contact with Todd. We'll see what happens with Todd. Maybe we'll... Oh, my. Sounds like he's been kidnapped.
We're going to get Todd killed one of these days.
We got to be careful with... All right. Hopefully we'll find out where Todd is next week.
Put up a yellow ribbon for Todd.
Yeah, put up a yellow... Yeah, little Todd... ribbon. I'm gonna wear a little ribbon for Todd next week, I think, maybe.
I think it needs to be a green one, though.
Oh, yeah, green. Well, if I put green on, it'll just shine right through me. So, green screen, you know.
It's just a little ribbon.
Oh my! I hope Todd's okay. Just wow, that's terrible. All right, that's all right. Well, I don't know what we're gonna do about him. All right. Well, if you have a place you want to send Todd, just. Leave a comment in the section here below. See what we can do. All right. I think that's it for us tonight. Next week. This is important. Next week, we have a special guest, and it'll be announced on Monday. So go to youtube.com/PackardPokesAt, and you will. And I have the promotion video up on there. So by Monday, so start watching the channel. I'm excited.
I know who the special guest is, but Packard won't let me say it.
No, you're gonna love who it is. You're gonna love. All right,
his name is. Packard uses the stick.
Don't you? Don't tell him. All right. Well, anyway, if you want to get in contact with us, we're gonna tell you how to do that right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, as at PackardPokesAt on Twitter and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can find the show on iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Radio. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook.com/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
And thank you, Crystal. Wow, you do such a wonderful job of that.
Thank you.
That was to Crystal.
Yes, definitely. She gets on there with the video and everything. She just does it all at one time. And it's the same way every week.
Right. She doesn't fluctuate. She's just like, all right, I'm on this.
Is it live or is it Crystal? No.
You're funny.
Anyway, if you want to join us in the chat room, go to blogtv.com/people/PackardPokesAt on Friday nights, 9 p.m. Central Time. A lot of people, interesting people in there are chatting away and enjoying the show. Come and join the show and join the fun. And we'll look forward to you on Friday nights, 9 p.m. Central Time. Again, that's blogtv.com/people/PackardPokesAt. And we'll look for you there. And that's been it for us tonight. This has been Packard Pokes It. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Contradictions in the Bible. According to the Bible... Should you answer a fool? According to Proverbs 26:4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. But Proverbs 26:5 says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." Did you like that, kids? Yay! Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait till next week.